This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Eye contact when you are being emotionally overfunctioning, gaze patterns that signal you are carrying too much. What your eyes reveal when you are holding everyone else together. In short, eye contact emotional overfunctioning is a set of gaze habits that develop when you take on too much responsibility for how others feel. Your eyes scan rooms, hold too long, or drop at the wrong moment, and other people read this as anxiety, deference, or lack of confidence, even when you feel none of those things. The gaze patterns are specific and observable, but they masquerade as attentiveness and warmth. They emerge from a root cause named in Say It Right Every Time for women. Emotional overfunctioning. You can begin to shift them today with one concrete diagnostic and one clear first move. Definition: eye contact emotional overfunctioning describes gaze behavior that emerges when a person takes responsibility for managing others' emotional states. They eye scan, defer, or lock on in ways driven by the need to monitor, soothe, or preempt, rather than by genuine communicative intent. You thought the conversation had gone well. You held your ground, made your point clearly, stayed calm. But something nagged at you afterward. A colleague told you later that you seemed nervous. You were not nervous. So what did they see? In most cases, the answer is in your eyes. Eye contact is the most honest channel of nonverbal communication most of us have. And when you're carrying too much emotional weight on behalf of the people around you, where gaze betrays you before you say a word, the patterns are not obvious. They look like warmth, attentiveness, and care, which is exactly why they are so hard to catch and so easy to dismiss. This article names 6 specific gaze patterns that signal emotional overfunctioning, explains the root cause beneath all of them, and gives you a clear way to start seeing your own habits accurately. By the end, you will be able to recognize what your eyes are doing and understand why. Why these gaze patterns are so difficult to recognize. Emotional overfunctioning rarely announces itself. It is the kind of thing that looks, from the outside, like leadership, empathy, and commitment. And it develops slowly, one small accommodation at a time, until it becomes the default way you move through rooms and conversations. The gaze patterns that come with it are camouflaged the same way. Scanning the room for people's reactions looks like situational awareness. Holding eye contact a beat too long looks like genuine listening. Dropping your gaze when you push back looks like humility. These are not the signals of someone who is struggling. They are the signals of someone who is trying very hard, which makes them nearly impossible to self-diagnose. The other reason they go undetected is that nobody tells you. People do not say, "You looked like you were trying to manage my emotions." They say something vague about your confidence, or they say nothing at all. The feedback loop is indirect at best, invisible at worst. By the time you notice something is off, the patterns have been set for years. 6 gaze patterns that signal you're carrying too much. 1. The room scan, eyes that never quite land. What it looks like. Your gaze moves around the room or group continuously, checking faces for signs of approval, discomfort, or dissatisfaction. You may appear engaged, but your eyes rarely settle. Why it happens? You have learned, often over a long period, that other people's emotional states are your responsibility to monitor and manage. Scanning is how you gather intelligence to do that work. Why it matters. Other people read a roaming gaze as uncertainty or low confidence. You look like you are seeking permission rather than holding ground. In meetings especially, this quietly signals that you are not the authority in the room, even when you are. What to do. Before your next meeting, identify one person you trust in the room. When you make a point, direct your opening gaze to them. Hold it for a natural 3 to 4 seconds, then broaden. Give your eyes a place to land first. I spent years calling this reading the room. It took me a long time to see it was actually anxiety disguised as attentiveness. 2. The reassurance lock. Holding too long when things get tense. What it looks like when conflict arises or emotion rises. You hold eye contact longer than usual, sometimes past the point where it is comfortable. You are steady, warm, and focused. It looks like calm leadership. Why it happens? This is the most counterintuitive pattern on this list, and I want to spend a moment on it. You're using your gaze to co-regulate the other person, to soothe them through sustained eye contact, because somewhere you have decided their distress is yours to resolve. In Chapter 4 of Say It Right Every Time for Women, I name this the core tension of emotional overfunctioning. You've confused connection with carrying. Why it matters? What reads as compassionate presence in the short term reads as intensity or surveillance over time. It also keeps you locked in the role of emotional regulator, which is exhausting and unsustainable. What to do? Practice natural gaze breaks during tense exchanges. Hold for 4 to 5 seconds, then let your eyes move briefly to a neutral point before returning. This signals groundedness, not avoidance. You can be present without being locked on. The principle I use is connect, don't carry. Meet them with your eyes. Do not try to calm them with your eyes. Those are very different things. 3. Gaze drop on assertion. Eyes that fall when you push back. What it looks like. When you state an opinion that differs from the group, ask for something directly, or hold a position under challenge, your eyes drop. Not for long, just a fraction of a second, or towards the table, or to your notes. But it happens consistently at that moment. Why it happens? The drop is a self-minimization reflex. It is the physical equivalent of the hedge words I describe and say it right every time for women. The maybe, and I just think that's often a statement, before it lands. The body does the same thing the voice does. It makes itself smaller at the precise moment. It should stand firm. Why it matters. The gaze drop undercuts everything your words are saying. You can deliver a clear, direct assertion verbally and simultaneously signal retreat non-verbally. People follow the signal, not the sentence. What to do? Practice stating one clear position and holding eye contact through the full sentence in low-stakes conversations first. Not staring, just steady. This is a buildable skill, not a personality trait you either have or lack. Confidence is not something you feel before you act. It is something you build by acting before you feel it. 4. The face watch. Constant monitoring for emotional shifts. What it looks like. You watch people's faces with a level of intensity that goes beyond normal attentiveness. You catch micro-expressions quickly. You notice a flicker of irritation, a tightening of the jaw, a slight withdrawal, and then you adjust your communication in response to what you see. Why it happens. This is hypervigilance expressed through the gaze. If you have spent years taking responsibility for keeping peace in groups, your eyes have been trained to detect threat signals early. It is adaptive intelligence that has become a default mode. Why it matters. The adjustment you make in response costs you. You soften your message, hedge, or redirect, not because the conversation needs it, but because someone looked mildly uncomfortable. You are preemptively managing a reaction that may never have arrived. This is what I call the empathy overdraft, genuine empathy capacity being spent on preemption rather than real connection. What to do? When you notice yourself watching and adjusting, pause. Ask yourself, has this person actually said something? Or am I responding to what I think their face means? Let them speak before you adapt. For more on how nonverbal signals escalate tension in both directions, see nonverbal communication in tense situations. Here is the truth of it. You can't read a face and a conversation at the same time. One of them suffers. 5. Visual difference. Looking to others before you finish speaking. What it looks like. Midway through making a point, your gaze shifts to a senior person, a dominant voice, or whoever holds the most informal authority in the room. You have not finished speaking, but your eyes are already checking for endorsement. Why it happens? This is permission-seeking language translated into body language. Just as hedge words turn a statement into a question, visual deference turns an assertion into a proposal awaiting approval. It is driven by the same root and overinvestment in how others receive what you say. Why it matters? It signals, clearly and reliably, that your own authority over your position is conditional. It invites interruption. It tells the room you are not yet sure of what you are saying, even when you are entirely sure. This is worth reading alongside how to deal with dominant voices in a discussion for the full picture of how gaze interacts with group dynamics. What to do? Finish the sentence with your eyes. Decide before you speak who your primary address is, and hold that line until you've made your full point. Then open to the room. I used to think this was politeness. It was not. It was asking for permission I did not need. 6. Avoidant relief. Looking away when emotional weight is lifted. What it looks like. The moment tension resolves, or someone laughs, or the difficult part of a conversation ends, you look away. Not in a natural conversational way. In a way that signals relief, as if you had been holding your breath and can finally exhale. Why it happens. If you have been carrying the emotional weight of a conversation, its resolution genuinely does feel like physical relief. The gaze break is the body releasing that load. The problem is that it makes the weight visible retroactively and it signals to others that you are under strain in a way that, up to that point, was hidden. Why it matters, it confirms to the room that the tension was as heavy as it felt, which can make future tense moments feel heavier still. It also signals to you that tension is something to be survived, not navigated. That belief, reinforced repeatedly, builds avoidance habits rather than strength. What to do? After a tense exchange resolves, stay present for one or two full sentences before you let your gaze soften and widen. This is a small act. The effect on how you feel and how you read is disproportionate. The core framework can help you build that grounded baseline so tension does not accumulate the same way. This one took me the longest to see in myself. Relief is honest. Letting it show is the part worth managing. The root beneath all six. What emotional overfunctioning actually is. These six patterns are not separate problems. They are six expressions of one thing. And say it right every time for women, I name it emotional overfunctioning, the habit of taking responsibility for other people's emotional states as if managing them were part of your job. It is invisible, unpaid labor. It runs in the background of every conversation, consuming attention and energy that should be going toward your own clarity and your own position. The gaze is where it shows first, because the eyes respond faster than speech and with less conscious control. Your words can be scripted. Your gaze cannot, not without deliberate practice. That is why these patterns survive even in highly skilled communicators. You can master the verbal side of a difficult conversation and still betray the emotional load through where your eyes go. Here is what I wrote in Chapter 4 of Say It Right Every Time for Women. When you take responsibility for someone else's feelings, you're sending them an implicit message that they are not capable of managing their own emotions. This is not empowering, it is infantilizing. The gaze patterns above are the nonverbal version of that same dynamic. Every scan, every reassurance lock, every drop of the eyes when you assert yourself, is your body saying, I am here to manage this for you. The fix is not to become cold or withholding. It is to apply what I call the connect. Don't carry principle, meet people fully. Stay genuinely present, but stop using your gaze to regulate their emotional experience. That is their work to do. You can accompany them through it without doing it for them. When you carry this into high-pressure moments, it also helps to understand the physiological side of what happens when tension spikes. The amygdala hijack is one of the clearest explanations of why your body responds before your mind does. A diagnostic checklist. What are your eyes actually doing? Read each statement and answer yes or no honestly. Think of a specific, recent conversation as your reference point. My eyes moved around the room frequently while I was speaking, rather than settling on one person at a time. I held eye contact longer than usual when someone seemed upset or resistant. My gaze dropped at the moment I stated something I knew might be challenged. I found myself watching faces closely for signs of irritation or discomfort during the conversation. My eyes shifted to a senior person or authority figure before I had finished making my point. I felt visible relief when the difficult part of the conversation ended, and I looked away. I adjusted what I was saying in response to a facial expression before the other person spoke. Scoring 0 to 1 yes. Your gaze patterns are largely grounded. Stay aware, stress can shift this quickly. 2 to 3 yes. You are showing early signs of overfunctioning through your eyes. One or two specific habits to address. 4 to 5 yes. The overfunctioning is consistent and worth taking seriously. The patterns are likely costing you authority and energy in equal measure. 6 to 7 yes. The emotional load is heavy and your gaze is carrying it visibly. This is not a character flaw. It is a habit under pressure, but it needs direct attention. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. A first move toward grounded eye contact. The most direct entry point is not practice. It is awareness first. For 1 week, bring one question into every significant conversation. What am I trying to prevent right now? You do not need to answer it fully. Just notice when the question has an answer. When it does, that is the moment your gaze is about to do one of the six things above. Name the pattern. That naming, done consistently, is the beginning of choice. From there, the work becomes about repair, not perfection. If you are working on corrective feedback or tense exchanges at the same time, the SPVI method offers a practical structure that reduces the emotional load in those conversations, which in turn reduces the gaze pressure you feel during them. For broader meeting situations, the role of communication in meeting success covers the full context in which these patterns tend to show up most clearly. And if the overfunctioning is driving defensive reactions in others, how to use the SPVI method to address tension-causing behavior without triggering a defensive shutdown connects the verbal and non-verbal sides of the challenge. The goal is not to become someone with cold, controlled, clinical eye contact. The goal is to be someone whose gaze reflects what they actually feel, not what they're trying to manage for everyone else. That kind of presence, genuine and unguarded, is what real connection is built on. Eye contact emotional overfunctioning is common, learnable, and entirely reversible. What your eyes have learned to do, your eyes can learn to undo. Start by seeing the pattern clearly. The rest follows from there. Frequently asked questions. What is eye contact emotional overfunctioning? Eye contact emotional overfunctioning describes gaze patterns that emerge when you take on too much responsibility for others' feelings. Your eyes scan, defer, or lock on in ways that signal hypervigilance rather than genuine connection, revealing an invisible emotional load that verbal communication often hides. How does emotional overfunctioning affect eye contact at work? It produces specific gaze habits, scanning the room for others' reactions, holding eye contact too long to reassure, dropping your gaze when you speak your own opinion, or watching faces obsessively for signs of upset. These patterns signal that you are managing others' emotions, not just communicating. Can eye contact reveal that I'm carrying too much emotional labor? Yes. Your gaze is one of the most honest channels of nonverbal communication. When you are overfunctioning emotionally, your eyes show it before your words do. Patterns like constant checking, prolonged reassurance gazes, and avoidance when asserting yourself are reliable early signals. What gaze pattern is the least obvious sign of emotional overfunctioning? The most counterintuitive sign is warm, steady eye contact held just a few seconds too long during conflict. It looks like calm and compassion, but it is actually a co-regulation attempt. You're using your gaze to manage the other person's emotional state instead of simply being present. How do I stop overfunctioning through my eye contact? Start by noticing the trigger, not the gaze itself. Ask what you're trying to prevent in the moment when the pattern kicks in. Then practice the connect, don't carry principle, meet the person's gaze without attempting to resolve their emotional state through it. Natural breaks every 4 to 5 seconds help. Is emotional overfunctioning in eye contact a sign of weakness? Not at all. It is usually a sign of strength turned too far outward. Most people who overfunction through their gaze are highly capable, deeply empathetic communicators. The habit forms because it works in the short term. The cost is long-term depletion and a communication style that quietly signals low authority. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.